stay tuned for Air Cascadia.
That's right. We're just minutes away from Air Cascadia here on the Boo KBOO Portland. We're also 15 minutes away from Flashpoints today, featuring another installment of the Battle for Public Education in the 21st Century and the weekly broadcast of the Electronic Intifada. At 11 on Between the Covers, first-time author Marion Palaya discusses her novel, The Given World, which tells the story of a young woman whose life is haunted by her brother's disappearance in Vietnam. And at 11:30 on the Radio Zine, host Lisa Loving speaks with journalist, author, and documentary filmmaker John Ronson about his latest book, So You've Been Publicly Shamed. That's all coming up after Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary next on KBOO. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support for community radio. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate today.
Portland school board elections are May 19th. What's your question?
I'm Sharon Maxwell. I am a native of Portland, Oregon, born and raised in Northeast Portland. I am a product of the Portland Public Schools, and my question is, what is their commitment to children and families to make sure that children and youth of color are valued for their ability to learn and do well?
Tune in to KBOO April 27th through 30th at 5:45 for special school board election coverage.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, April 16th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is Dan Sears. He's back. He's, of course, we all know him from Columbia River Keeper and the campaign to stop LNG as an LNG terminal from being sited on our Columbia River. It's back again, the specter of the corporatization of government, the two going hand in hand to destroy what little we have left of our natural environment. If you think about what the Columbia River was in its natural state as a river, not a series of lakes, it's not a series of lakes devoted to the capture of hydroelectric power, but a free-flowing river. Now it is virtually a cesspool on either side, trains full of coal, bomb trains with oil. And we recently witnessed the spectacle of the Pembina a propane terminal meeting. That was an absolute travesty. So many people, so many intelligent, good-hearted people, people who had science backgrounds, people who could speak to the issue, and did, in fact. Well, the Pembina representatives flapped their hands and said, we'll get back to you on it. Now, in the aftermath of that, and with at least 28 fossil fuel projects popping up around us, now what we would have never, in my entire lifetime, never would I have imagined that the idea of siting an oil refinery, here, it's too... It's so far over the edge. We have Dan Sears joining us now, just coming out of a meeting. We're very, very fortunate to have him today because there's a lot of work going on. Riverkeeper, as often the case, leading the charge. Good morning, Dan. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Chris.
An oil refinery? I couldn't believe it. I thought this has got to be some kind of horrible joke because, well, 28, as we just said, 28 fossil fuel projects, all this stuff going on. The idea that instead of stopping it, they're going to make it safe. That's ridiculous. That's like saying, well, let's take Hiroshima and make it safe, right? I was so utterly astonished. But anyway, let me turn this over to you, and maybe you can sort this out for me and for our listeners, who also must be gagging on it.
So what we know about this proposal is what we've seen in documents we obtained from a public records request submitted to the Port of Longview quite a while ago. And so the documents are months old, but what they show is a proposal to construct a new refinery that would take as its input 30,000 barrels a day of Bakken crude oil, the very same Bakken oil that has been blowing up in trains all over North America very spectacularly and with dire consequences for both human health and the environment. And so in Longview, they would take in these oil trains, refine the crude oil, and then send out a refined product. It would be the first refinery on the Columbia River. It would be the first refinery sited in the United States in several decades. So this is a very significant potential threat to the Columbia River, its health, and the community that's located right in the same vicinity where this refinery would be to be sited.
And again, they justify this with jobs and the economy, and yet the absolute certainty of an accident happening, it's not, as the old saying goes, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, the cost would be so incredibly high, and it would still, no matter how much money was devoted to this, it would not ever be, nothing would be able to be restored. This would be the death of a river.
It's absolutely the wrong approach for the Columbia River. You know, we're, as a region, investing millions of dollars in restoring salmon runs and finding ways to take our economy and our river in a different, cleaner direction. And this is absolutely contrary to that effort. And so what we're looking at is the very early stages of a proposal to really industrialize the Columbia River in a way that would pose a real threat to not just salmon and the health of the river, but the health of the community close to where this refinery would be. I should note that this is, again, a very early stage. To our knowledge, the Port of Longview has not yet signed a lease for this refinery proposal, and certainly the state of Washington hasn't reviewed it or made a decision. We would hope that hearing from the citizens of Longview and from the Northwest that this is a really bad idea might prevent them from entering into an agreement or rushing to sign a lease for this type of really dirty, dangerous project. The idea of combining exploding crude oil unit trains with a refinery in the middle of Longview, it adds insult to injury in a way that should really make this a non-starter.
So, Riverkeeper, Columbia Riverkeeper, of course, is here in Oregon. This project is in Washington. I'm not how much leverage Oregon actually has. We do the river, in fact, unites us, not divides us. This is all Cascadia. What companies have come forward? What corporations? What corporate interests have come forward? And who have they been talking to in Washington? I'm astonished again that this has emerged just as we contend with the Pembina propane project, and then this comes up. What on earth are we to make of it? And these people in Longview, I mean, what corporation is this, and how many jobs do they think that they're going to bring to the region?
Yeah, the company is calling itself Riverside energy. Yeah. And they, you know, they propose to create, you know, 150 jobs. But of course, there's always a trade-off with the jobs that would be destroyed and having a clean river that people can live next to and air that people can breathe. There's a long history of groups like ours, and we certainly have been working on both sides of the river. You know, we're a bi-state, you know, actually multi-nation organization where we have members going all the way up into Canada. Because the Columbia River flows so much through Washington, a lot of our work is in the state of Washington. And there's a really impassioned, active local group, Landowners and Citizens for a Safe Community in Longview, that was really born out of the fight against LNG years and years ago and has continued to grow and morph and take on new challenges. And certainly this is one that the people of Longview will be looking very closely at. But it's going to be a regional issue, and we need support from people throughout throughout the region. Everyone who's listening needs to be aware that this is the first potential refinery we could see in the Columbia River ever.
And this company, Riverside, that just suddenly popped up, it decided to build an oil refinery at huge expense, huge operation, massive super tankers coming up and down the river. And here's this company I've never heard of. Probably this traces straight back to the, well, not straight back, but in its own convoluted way back to the Koch brothers. Interconnections are extraordinary. I find it amazing too that the government, the state government in Washington, where do they stand?
We don't know yet, and certainly it's going to be a process that we would engage in as the state of Washington. If this proposal really comes to light in a way where it gets a public review, we will engage with that, and we will be arguing to whoever the decision makers are, and that could very well be Governor Inslee and the State Environmental Site Evaluation Council for the state of Washington. Those folks need to hear from all of us. It's a process we know and are already engaged with other crude oil by rail facilities. The difference with this one is that it's a refinery. It's not just crude by rail. It's crude by rail plus a big, dangerous, dirty refinery right in the middle of Longview.
And, bringing everything in by rail and sending it out in these massive super tankers, which themselves are fueled by fossil fuels. On that note, we should probably let you go. Anything that you feel it is vital for our listeners to know about, to take with them?
This is at an early stage, and you know the Port of Longview is saying that there will be a revised proposal from Riverside sometime soon. Whatever form this crude by rail oil refinery takes, we really encourage people to get engaged and help people of Longview stop this dirty project.
Yes, right now, any actions coming up over on Washington's side that we should know about?
Not yet on this, but of course there will be hearings coming up. Probably this summer with the Tesoro Savage crude by rail facility. When you start adding all of these proposals up in Vancouver, in Longview, and then further north in Washington, it's clear that the Columbia River is being viewed as a fossil fuel chute rather than salmon habitat. And that's something that has to change.
Thank you so much for that, Dan. Alarming as news as it is, we want to keep following this, and we want to encourage people to get out there right now and take a stand. Stopping it now is a lot easier than confronting it later on. Thanks again, Dan Sears with the Columbia Riverkeeper. And we'll put a link, of course, to the all of these websites and resources for listeners to access. Thanks again. Got a couple of, as many people know, there was a banner drop on the Hawthorne Bridge today. Of course, that prompted in many ways by President Obama's complete obliviousness to climate action. And there's all of this talk about safety and pouring money onto all of these projects and then making them safe by saying, well, we're going to put billions of dollars and charge them $9 a train car and all that. It doesn't matter. In the end, it doesn't matter. because we're destroying our own habitat. Fossil fuels are killing all of us all the time. I find it absolutely hilarious when people say, oh, no smoking. We make wheezing noises and wave their arms. Are they writing to their representative, their senators, their congressmen? Are they right? Are they calling and saying, put an end to the use of fossil fuels? I don't think so. It's so much easier to confront things that we feel that we have a handle on so far. So here in Portland, we do have dozens of companies who are heavily involved in coal mining. Fracking and tar sands is main source of massive obscene profits. These companies frequently donate to city council, including Steve Novick, who has accepted money from Greenbrier Gundersen, one of the largest construction and companies for oil rail cars and coal barges in the whole U.S., and in turn, of course, advocated for coal exports to China. Dan Salzman, Charlie Hales have also accepted tens of thousands from the fossil fuel industry. CH2M Hill, HDR, and the list goes on. The recent approval of zoning amendment at the Planning and Sustainability Commission, Portland Rising Tide encourages, it's Portland Rising Tide leading the charge, encouraging City Hall to reject this Pembina project, which was the most recent, as we mentioned before, travesty. More and more goes on. It is all that we can do in many ways to stay on top of it. That said, this has been a Cascadia for Thursday, April 16th, 2015. Rock Bergeron engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, and take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.